Well, hi, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Walking Dead solo series of Family Survives Together. I'm Turk, and welcome back to the Grouch Couch right here, of course, with all different kinds of TTRPG things. But today, we're continuing on our story. I believe that today is episode 7. So, right back at it again. Thank all of you guys for supporting the show and leaving likes on the videos. It really just shows me that you want to see more episodes, and it encourages me to do more. So, do leave a like on this video if you want to see more episodes. Of course, we have a promise of more likes, more episodes. So that's the way that it goes. So thank you guys so much for your support and just everything. It's been so good. Now, full disclosure, we're super busy right now. We're prepping up for a Comic-Con. We're performing at a Comic-Con, Yellow City Comic-Con, and we're super busy. But I'm just thinking about all the plots and all the threads and everything that's happening in this story right now, and I really just wanted to get back into it. I was like, I gotta record another episode and hopefully edit it and get it up before we leave to Yellow City, because there's no way I'm gonna go 3 weeks without playing this game again. So here we are. We're back. And of course, this is also due to your guys' encouragement in the comments. You're like, no, more episodes. So thank you so much for that. It's encouraging me to do it. And I think it's great because I'm just excited about it. Let's hop over into the comments like we have been doing to see if there's anything we need to recap or make sure we include in today's episode. Okay, so a lot of nice comments. Like I said, these videos make me want to do it myself. It's so good to hear that from you guys. We do have a new friend, Graybeard. Welcome. Welcome, friend. It's good to hear that you've been enjoying the series. It's awesome. Now, one of the main things we did need to talk about was Havenwood. Josh got it in. Name of the church is Havenwood, and even Graybeard agreed. Havenwood rocks. So we're actually that's what we're going to be naming our sanctuary. Our church is going to be called Havenwood. Hopefully we could build it out to be more than just a church, but that's what it is for now. Also, you like the idea of Jamie Thornton being Letitia's dad. So that means Letitia is actually Letitia Thornton, which is really exciting. And we'll see if the dice allow that to happen. But right now, headcanon, that's what's happening. Also, Brett wants to propose their name as an NPC or a villain. So we got to remember that name so we can get it in there. Just think it's a juxtaposition of the name with a ruthless tendency would be interesting. Very good. Yeah. And also, Robert reminded us of their NPC. So hopefully we can get that in there if dice allow us to. Hopefully that goes well. Also, just really nice words. I really, really do appreciate it. And when I read this comment, I started a Morkborg solo series, and I have been doing a little bit more mechanics than I normally do. And I read this comment, and I was like, oh, man, it's nice to hear. So even on that series, I might, continue doing my narrative style that I do. And hopefully folks like that over there as well. Okay. That's it for that. So now we're going to get into the rest of the homework. Let's do it. Okay, so first off, art of our characters. I really wanted to help visualize the way that I see them in my head to help you guys visualize that as well. And I feel like this is a little bit better. I like it a lot, honestly. It's really good. So we got all new tokens for everything. Everyone got a new token, and we got a nice little background image that I'm just really kind of enjoying looking at. It's really good and inspirational. I thought about making some Family Survives Together merch with these characters on it. Getting actual merch and art made and everything like that. If it's something you guys would be interested in, of course, I can let our artist, Children Proteus, know, and we can get some actual art made. We do have a merch store, link on our website, of course. But if you want some specific stuff, do let me know. So also, Havenwood has its own token as well now, and I did already name it Havenwood on the sheet, of course. And Poochie has their better token art. So if we start doing little map thingies and stuff, we'll have actual tokens. So speaking of that, we did some leveling up. You spend 10 experience in this system, and you can level up one of your skills. So I actually spent 10 experience from Jesse to give him one in force, because I think I want him to be the strength character. In the beginning, I built him to where he's just an all-around character, because I didn't know where we're going to end up. But now, being that we have a group, I want him to be the stronger one that can endure stuff and break things and stuff like that. Even though he just friggin' broke his arm, which I did take off his sheet, by the way, because he's cleaned up now, so we'll get rid of that. Anyway, so he got one in force, and the other person who had enough experience to level up was Torka, and Torka got one in mobility, I believe, because Torka is going to be our agile kind of guy. Very good. And as it stands right now, no one else has enough experience. They're pretty close. CC and Aiden are pretty close, but they don't have enough experience to be able to level up, and that's just okay. Also, I remembered and realized, I was reading through the rules, that drives the characters have on their sheets right here, their drive underneath NPC anchor, you can actually add a D6 to rolls once per session if you can connect it to their drive. And Jesse's drive was done. We saved our little brother. So I was like, because of last episode, he probably seen how well that Aiden performed performed with Torca out. You know, he heard about it. And so his new drive is probably to train his little brother so he can survive, you know, longer. Because I feel like Jesse's probably like, he doesn't know how long he's going to survive out here. He wants to make sure his brother can live on, you know, one of those things. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about our notes. So the way we were doing our threads before really didn't work because we have way too many now. This has evolved into a whole story. So we actually have a new threads list that goes up to 8 now. Is Jesse's dad in prison? Is his mom alive or a walker? Is Torca's tribe still around? Can we speak to others with the new radio tower, which we're hopefully going to get into this episode? Are there people living in the mall? Who is Lucretia? We know that her last name is Thornton, so I'll update that in a second. And how can we fix up Havenwood? And who are the Yaw faction? Those are our new threads. We have our NPC characters, so we're going to change Lucretia's last name to Thornton and save that up. So we've got Vicky R, which was his high school girlfriend, and we've got Lucretia Thornton. So I've also typed up the surrounding area. It's a lot of text. It's only one little scroll though, so if you want to pause and read through everything, you absolutely can. But one of the important things is that the mall, still untouched by our group, but visible from a rooftop on clear days. It looms on the horizon like a tomb of consumerism. Could be a gold mine or a graveyard. There's rumors of solar panels on the roof and barricades in the parking structure. Someone might have tried to hold out there once. Also, the zoo, it's a small zoo, so I figured it's going to have small animals, so raccoons and birds and stuff like that is kind of what I was thinking. And I couldn't remember the name of the butcher shop, so I put Frankie's Butcher Shop, which is right next to it. The park and construction site, we got those in there. And one last thing I want to talk about is the divide, the river. So a sluggish gray-brown river runs between Havenwood and the heart of the city. Bridges are mostly intact, but some are blocked or damaged. Crossing into the city proper means stepping into the unknown. More resources, but more people and way more danger. And I wanted to use the river as kind of like a way to justify that this area we're in with Havenwood is a little bit less occupied by walkers and people and stuff. And I also think that the mall is on this side too. So we might have better luck going to that mall to get stuff if it hasn't already been fully ransacked by the Yaw faction, which we will see. Cool. And I think that that is all of the homework. So thanks for sticking with me through that. We're going to get into the story stuff, but I think now we need to recap. So our story is going to have to begin today. Jay's healed up. He's feeling better. It's been a couple days, and the crew have been breaking down pews as quietly as possible to board up the door. It's not a lot. And actually, I kind of want to roll on it. Was the crew able to get enough wood to be able to board up the front door at Havenwood? Fake question, unsure. Yes. Okay, good. That saves us so much time. I'm not going to say that it's like amazingly boarded up, but it is going to take them a couple days. And like if enough walkers were to beat up this door, it's going to come down. So we got to keep it in our head that we're looking for something better. But it's going to do for now, temporary. So we're an empty church. There's no furniture. There's no way to survive. We've eaten all of our blackberries. But Jay, healed up now, is going to go up to the second floor to Cece right away. Like, this is what I'm interested in. And he's gonna talk to her and see how the radio tower thing's going. And he's going to say, "Hey, Cece, how you doing? I mean, how are things going?" "Things are going pretty good. It's good to see that you're all healed up." "Yeah. I've been through worse." She's like, "Really? Have you broken any other bones?" Probably like, Jesse wants to seem like a good guy to Cece because she's kind of like a love interest for him, being that she's the only, you know, sane, pretty girl that he knows. So he's probably like, "Yeah, I've broken a couple bones. Maybe, you know, I could show you my scars sometime or something." She's going to be like, "Ew, scars." It's like, yeah. Anyways, how's the radio tower coming? She's like, "Well, it's almost done." It's like, "Actually, we could turn it on together. I mean, I've used the parts I got from the fair. I used some of the old equipment that was in here for the worship that the people did in the church. And I think I've got something together. I put the antenna. It's up on the roof. We're going to need, you know, maybe an extender to get it to go further. But for now, do you want to do the honors with me and turn it on?" And he goes, "Yeah, absolutely." And together, they flip a little switch that's on this like radio box, and lights come on and it starts like making noises and there's a little mic in front of it in like classic fashion. There's like a button that you press to be like, she pushes it and she's like, hello. I want to use her full name. She would totally use her full name. What's her full name? She pushes the button and she's like, hello, this is Sierra CC Andrews coming in from Havenwood. Is there anybody out there? And as a fake question, right away, we got to see if anyone calls back. And I'm kind of call it unlikely. Exceptional yes, because we got a six. My goodness. So someone calls back right away. We're going to need some details of this then. But before I do that, I want to straight up ask, is this Robert's NPC? Because if we remember, Robert's NPC was a YouTuber, which would have access to microphone equipment and would know how to, you know, talk over things. So let's ask the Fate Oracle. I'm unsure. Is this Robert's NPC? It's a weird question to ask. Yes. Okay. So we get a call back.
Hi, hello. Sierra Andrews. This is Angela Bailey.
And when that comes through, Cece's like shocked. She's like, oh. She looks at Jay and Jay's like, Angela Bailey. I don't know who that is. Does Cece know? Because I don't know how much YouTube Cece would watch. Torka would probably know. Torka probably steps forward because Torka worked on computers in his van and stuff. You know what I mean? Torka's kind of the younger guy. So Torka probably steps forward and he's like, oh, hey, man, Angela Bailey, man, can I talk to her, man? And Cece's like, back up. She like scoots him back. And Cece says, Angela Bailey, where are you located? Do you need help? Are you alone? These are all questions we got to ask. Angela Bailey, does she need help? Exceptional no. But unexpected random event. Deceive tactics on an NPC positive. So no, but deceive tactics. Okay, so let's play this out in its full and kind of see how this is going to go. So the fun thing about this is NPC positive. So this has nothing to do with our characters, but it's got something to do with NPCs. And that also means that it possibly could be an NPC who isn't here. And the only NPC characters we have currently are Vicky R and Lucretia Thornton. So we need to remember that. So we're just going to play this out and see what happens here. So taking it back, CC says, yeah, so we're here. We've got shelter, food, and we're trying to build something. What is your situation? Do you need any help? And I think Angela, we got an exceptional no. So she probably says, honestly, I'm okay. I've got a little place on the edge of the city, solid walls, plenty of canned foods. I wasn't sure if there was any people left, so I'm excited to hear your voice. And I think CC, you know, smiles, pushes the button again and says, yeah, you're not alone, but that's what Havenwood's for. If you need anything, supplies, a place to crash on your way home, we got you. We can also come get you. And then I think it goes quiet for a minute. And Angela chimes back again. She says,
that's kind, but I'm doing all right. Just hearing a voice, that's enough for now.
And Cece's going to nod, comforted. And then I think, so this is going to be our random thing. Angela chimes back in again and says,
well, wait, before I go, I almost did forget. There's a guy, maybe ex-military or something. I don't know. He's full of tattoos. I think maybe from prison. Hold up in a hardware store up on the other side of town. Said he was looking for people, you know, rebuilding people, not just surviving. Maybe he'd be useful to you.
And I think Angela gives, you know, a few specific like cross streets of where to find it and stuff like that. And when Cece hears that, she turns back to the group and she's like, before I respond, gang, what do you think? Should we investigate this guy? Do we have our own stuff going on? I mean, because we don't really know Angela. There's just no saying if she's alone or not. If she's held up somewhere, I mean, chances are she's not alone. What if it's a trap? Jay's like, look at it. Torka seems to know this person. We're going to have to keep an eye on him. Maybe we can visit, plan out a hangout time or something. I don't trust him enough to do anything like that. But what we can do is when we go out, we can scope out this hardware store. See if it looks good. See how many people are staying there. You know, scope this guy out. See who he is. Because we're going to have to go on a run soon anyway. We need food. We need stuff.
So, one last thing. Ask Angela if maybe they'd be down to trade some canned food, at least until we find some food. And Cece pushes the button and she says,
okay, Angela, thanks for the information. Maybe we'll go say hi. Last question. You said you have canned food. Would you be willing to trade anything for canned food?
And we're going to call it a fake question. Unsure? Exceptional yes. Which means maybe she'll just give us some. Angela says,
sure, maybe one day. If you're really desperate for food, I can just give you some. But for now, I'm going to go.
Cece says, thank you. Over and out. She pushes the button off. So this whole conversation that just happened, first of all, that means Angela Bailey is going to be a NPC for now. We're going to put all her information in my notes. But a couple of questions. Were people listening in on our conversation? Because it's always a fear of mine. So we need to keep that in there. Maybe we'll put it in the threads list in case we ever have to roll on it. Like, do people know that we're here? Were they listening? Etc. Torka now probably really wants to meet Angela Bailey. And we know about a hardware store, which I just came up with off the top of my head. Sometimes with this thing, it is kind of like, you know, creative writing kind of thing. You just kind of just got to go off the cuff here. But I was thinking deceive and tactics. It could be deceitful. It could be a trap. But also we need to introduce a new NPC and tactics. I was kind of thinking ex-military kind of tactics is where my brain went, just so you know a little bit. Yeah. So let's update this journal entry before we do anything else. Okay, Angela Bailey, held up somewhere safe with walls and canned food. Has a radio to communicate, used to be YouTuber. Torka used to watch her videos. All right. So now that we've got the radio out of the way, we need to look at our threads list. I think we need to scope out the mall today. Or we need to learn more about a surrounding area. There's also the construction site. We could go there, but that's not going to have food. The butcher shop might have food. Could be an old freezer kept longer than it could have. You know, we could end up with a lot of good meat. We could. Oh, man. Honestly, we should probably just go there because we could get cooking stuff like knives and stuff like that. I don't think a butcher shop would have a stove or anything else, but like we could take the van over there and load up some stuff and come back. So I think that's the run we're going to do today. Who is going to go on this run today? So Aiden just went out. So I think he's fine. I really don't want to leave Aiden here alone, but Aiden does have binoculars and he can keep a scope out on things. I wish we had like little hand radios to be able to talk back and forth. That would be so good. So we could leave one person back here just to keep an eye on the place. Because it feels weird keeping two people here, but sending two people out. But in this situation, we're going to need the strongest two in case we got to like lift a fridge or something like that into the van. And Torka's got to go because he has to drive. Jay's arm is fixed. So I think this means that Jay and Torka are going to go to the butcher shop to see if they can get some food. So I think they're going to talk a little bit and Torka's not going to want to go, right? He's going to be like, a butcher shop? You know, I really don't want to. And Jay's going to be like, yeah, but think about the things we could get. Knives, weapons, old meat, stuff like that, you know, spices. There's a lot of things that could help us that could be good trade and good for us to survive at this butcher shop. And eventually Torka's going to agree and they're going to go out to Torka's van because they're not driving Jay's car currently because Jay still needs to fix his car. It warranted getting any more messed up and he definitely does not want to do that. So they go out to his van and they're going to get in together. And I picture like the passenger door doesn't open from the outside door handle, so Jay has to reach in and open it from the inside. And the window doesn't really shut all the way. But in the back, there's like a bed and like a little makeshift desk that has like a bunch of just like parts and stuff on it. Because it was mentioned before that Torka was actually selling and refurbishing laptops and phones and stuff to make a living while he was traveling. And it's not really a lot, probably just scraps and stuff left. And then like hanging from the window, there's something hanging from the window that would be really important to Torka. And I think it would actually like a description for it. Discovery meaning descriptions. Emotionally dark. So emotionally dark. So it's got something to do with his backstory. Emotionally dark. Maybe it's kind of dark, like on a necklace is like the bullet that killed his father. And it's hanging from the rearview mirror. And it's just like a single bullet. And Jay's going to be like, hey, Torka, what's that? Well, man, my dad was a Native American and he actually died, man. You know, he was fighting for Native American rights and during a protest, he was shot, man, and they extracted this from his heart. This is the bullet that killed him.
You kept the bullet that killed him?
Yeah, man. Sometimes, you know, I look at it, man, and it reminds me of why I want to be free, man.
Okay.
And he's going to start up this car. How much gas is in this car? I'm going to roll a D6, and we're going to think about it as ticks on, you know, like a gas tank gauge. A D6, how much is in here? That is 2. So he's got about a quarter of a tank of gas. So we're doing okay. So he starts up the car. Like one of those old, like, Volkswagen bus vans that don't go very fast, and they're kind of slow and heavy. And they're putting down the road. And I want to actually, while they're driving up the road, if you remember from our traveling, discovering episode where we were figuring out this side of the city. Weird episode, by the way. We're driving past that weird house. And I'm wondering if that house still has those two Zeds that are, like, chained up to that pole. Are those Zeds still there? 50-50. Exceptional yes. Which means yes and. Yeah, those two Zeds are there. And there are more chained up, is what I'm going to say. There are 4 more chained up. There are now 6 Zeds with chains around their necks protecting this house. And Jay sees it and he's like, all right, so someone's definitely living there. Picture's like a block or two away. So it's not too much of a danger, but like it kind of is because that's weird. And who could it be? I mean, it could be Angela living there. She could be living right next door. We wouldn't even know it. So by the way, I'm happy with that because we know more now about the people of this world. You know what I mean? So that's cool. And more people, more interactions. Nice. Okay, so those are still there. Now, as we approach the butcher shop, it's been a few days. So are these Zeds in pink still out front? I'm going to call it likely. Yes. Okay. There's still some out front. I'm trying to paint a picture of this thing. I wonder what the back would look like. So I have an idea. So we see there are some Zeds outside. And we're going to have to roll to see how many that is. But before we do, we need to find a place to park this van so we don't attract them. So like in the front parking lot of the zoo, maybe we're going to park the van. And Jay's like, we're going to park the van here. And then once we've cleared it out, we can move the van back and we can start loading it up. All right. But we're going to have to sneak over there to scope out, see how many zombies are outside. See if we can see any on the inside. Because our best bet, Torka, are you paying attention? Yeah, man. Totally, man. Our best bet is if we can sneak in here and kill them all stealthily. All right. He's going to be like, all right, man. Stealthily, man. Look, I've got my spear. I'm good with stealth, man. Fighting, not so much, but stealth, I got this, man. So they get out the van and they shut the doors and they're going to get down, you know, real low and sneak up to like a wall, maybe separating like a little 3-foot wall separating the parking lot from the zoo and the butcher shop. Okay, it took a lot more work than I was willing to admit, but I've made a little butcher shop, which is really nice. And we got our tokens down here of Jay and Torka, right? So they're just approaching this thing. And we know that... I need help for visuals, right? And I've never done anything like this on this series before. So, you know, we're going to give it a try. But we need a roll to see how many zombies are out here, right? So we have to check our rules real quick. And we already know that there are some. But what I want to do is we're actually going to roll a scout roll with both of these guys just to see how effectively... We don't have the binoculars, so we don't get any pluses. How effectively they're going to be doing this thing here. And we need to remember our stress rolls. They both got 1 success, so they're pretty good. They can see almost all the zombies, that potential zombies that are out here. We're going to roll a D8. See how many walkers are out here. 8 walkers are out front. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... And we gotta get in here. So this is, Dim's a lot of walkers. And we already know they're all pretty much dressed in pink. They're all wearing the outfits of the butcher shop. So what I wanna do now is, if we can even see that even getting in here is insane. Especially only the two of us. We need to go around the back. Does the wall continue all the way up the back? Or do we need to hop over and do stealth? Okay, does the wall continue? Yes, cool. All right, so we can go around the back.
So there's hella walkers out there. Now, are there any walkers in the back? Yes. What is our threat level here? Okay, 1d6. What is our threat level like back here before we see how many walkers it is? 1. You are in a cleared area and safe for now. Okay, but it did say yes that there was walkers here. So let's roll a 1d2 to see how many there are. It's way more doable. Do a d4 minus 2. 1. Okay, so there's one walker back here. All right, a little bit different, but let's both do stealth. And let's see if we can just get up and kill this thing. Because if it's only one, we'll be fine. And as long as we don't fuck this up, let's see how Jay does first. 2 successes. He has a point of stress? No, he doesn't. No more stress anymore. So Jay gets up first, and he sneaks past all the way over here. And Torka, like, before he's going to slip on something, and he's going to make some noise. But before he fails his stealth check and attracts all these guys down here, we are going to attack. Jay's going to bring down his axe. He's going to bring it down right on this guy. Small axe. He's rolling close combat. With 3 successes. So he sneaks up, gets real close, and just hits this thing in the back of the head. Now, quickly, this could be a different looking zombie, but I'm going to call it nearly certain that this is a butcher shop zombie. Yeah, it is. Okay. Also, we got a 6 on that. That's crazy. So this thing's dead. And we're going to go to the door. We're doing a little bit of a hex crawl here for this little map. This is crazy. It was crazy. Okay, is this door unlocked? Yes. Cool. So Jay's going to squeak it open. Oh, and also, while Torka was walking, he made some noise. So all these walkers are going to move 10 feet this way towards the back. And every round here, I need to remember to move them. But he squeaks the door open. Okay, and the way that this works, when exploring a building, roll for a... Oh, I'll show it here. When exploring a building, roll for a random threat level each time you enter a new section or floor. However, instead of using random threat table from below, use this modified table. In buildings with multiple sections or floors, add 1 to subsequent rolls on this table if you've already encountered walkers in another part of this building. So we're actually going to roll a random threat level as we step in. That's a 1. Which means this hallway is completely safe. If you are scavenging in the building, use the luck oracle to see if you find anything. An extreme yes result means you can roll twice on scavenging table. The luck oracle. Okay, and we're looking for the fridge area. It's kind of what we want. I know that we can see this, you know, on the map. This is a real general kind of map. All right, so we'll describe the rooms as we go into them. But this next door, is it unlocked? Yes. Okay, which means exceptional yes to me always means that it's already all the way open. So Jay's going to step in and take a look around. Threat level in this room, 2. So on this random threat level, it means a 6, means that we got a 2. And a 2 is there are walkers around. I haven't noticed this as we step in. We might suffer a single walker attack if we mess up a skill test. So as we step inside, what do we see in here? Slowly fragile. Slowly fragile. You know what slowly fragile means to me? It's kind of crazy, but slowly means... What if there's a freezer, a big one, like a stand-up freezer, with like 2 doors, but it's like glass. Inside of that freezer, there's a walker who is slowly freezing to complete ice, and he's hitting the windows, making the windows fragile, like, and as we step inside, he doesn't see us yet, but he is in there, and Jay turns to Torka after he sees this thing, and he's like, walker popsicle, you ever seen anything like that before, Torka? Torka's like, no, man, really kind of freaks me out, if I'm being honest. He's like, all right, well, we got to figure out how to take care of this thing, because if we can kill that thing, if the freezer's still working, which we'll have to investigate and roll, but it looks like it's still cold enough to keep this walker frozen currently. How do we get rid of it? We could tag team it. Yeah, you swing open the door, the zombie will fall out, and then I'll take him down. All right. Torka's like, yeah, all right, man, sounds good. Now these walkers, they're going to move 10 feet again. So they step inside, and Torka's going to swing that thing open as fast as he can. Maybe he can make a skill check, and if he succeeds, we'll give extra dice to... I don't really think so. Because I don't really hear agility, just to do it fast. 1 success, nice. Which will give a bonus to Jay, because they're kind of tag-teaming this thing. Close combat, he's going to get an additional dice. And also the walker's frozen. You need 2 additional dice. 0 successes. Okay. So, Okay, well, since we failed, and failing when you're trying to hit a walker is always really bad. I think whatever this effect is, we're going to roll on walker attack, because that's the way that it works. Whenever you attack a walker, if you miss, that means that they attack you. Which gives us a chance here. And since Torka did his agility check to do something, he can't do a check before the walker attack. So we're just going to be rolling on the walker attack chart here. Okay. Walker attack. You kill it, but you break or lose your weapon or something else important. Oh, man. So we have two options then. Either we break our axe, which Jesse would be sad about. He could find a new axe, right? Or we break the cooler. I say we do a 50-50 roll. On a yes, we break our axe. And on a no, we break the cooler. Something else important. That's why I say cooler. It sucks. Here we go. Yes, so we break our axe. But we got doubles. So an unexpected random event happens. Bestow the innocent. Okay, so we're going to figure that out. But as Jesse brings his axe down on this frozen walker's head. So first of all, Torka swings the door open all scared. And Jesse tries to swing his axe and misses. And the walker comes at him and he freaks out a little bit. And he swings his bad arm that he just hurt. So he's kind of like nursing it, like he doesn't want to hurt it. And by doing that, he like hits a super frozen part of this walker, just like ice. And it's breaks the handle off of the head of the axe. And now Jesse's just holding this stick. And the walker falls to the ground and he looks at Torka. And Torka's like, "Oh man, your axe, man." Jesse's like, "I've had this thing for a long time. God, that sucks." And he throws the stick to the ground. But as it dies, we get an ambiguous event. Bestow the innocent. Ambiguous event. So ambiguous is something that's supposed to happen that doesn't really make sense right now, but it will make sense later. And so since this was a dead walker, I'm wondering if this walker actually had a different past. We're going to roll on that. A goth teenager, instead of being a worker, it was a goth teenager. And maybe this goth teenager was kind of like freshly dead. So like maybe she was hiding in this freezer recently and died in the freezer. And we're going to search her body. Do we find anything on her body? Since this was a random event, I'm going to call it nearly certain. Yes, okay. So we find something that means bestow the innocent. Maybe it's a note. Is it a note? Give me some descriptors. Crazily graceful. Maybe it's like a note to her friend that says like, it's like crazily written, but you know, like grace, like super good cursive, but it's like crazy drawing. And it says like, "Hey girl, I'm gonna hide in the freezer. I'm gonna make sure to get this note off to you as soon as I can so you can come and save me and find me. The whole butcher shop is just surrounded by walkers and I don't know what else to do. So hopefully you find me soon." Kind of stuff like that. And we don't really know what it means or who she's writing it to, but we just find this thing in her pocket. And we're like, huh. What was her name? Let's just get a name. So for the future, we can know it. C-B. S-E-B. C-B? Bastion? Sebastian the goth teenager. Hell yeah, I'm all about it. Okay, so now we need to check and see if this freezer is actually still working. Like, is it on? Since it was just pumping out cold, I'm going to say that it's nearly certain that this thing is still working. Exceptional yes. But we got another random event. Move away from a thread. A press outside. No. Okay, where's our threads list? We have a D8 here. Which thread are we moving away from? 4. But we did actually learn earlier, we actually completed this thread because we learned that we could speak to others outside the radio tower. So let's just roll that again. We've got a 7. If we get an 8, we'll re-roll it. All right, I'm happy with that because that doesn't really make sense. Here we go. 3. Is Torka's tribe still around? A press outside. So the only way I can see this working is if like we pull the freezer back to check the backside of it. So like we're pulling it out together and a dead arm falls out. And Jesse looks and he's like, "Yep, still works fine. That's good news. Go ahead and unplug her, Torka." And then Torka reaches his hand out and there's like a necklace that has the symbol of his old tribe on it around the skeleton's neck. And he's like, "How did this get here?" And this is moving away from a thread because negative towards the thread, at least, because whoever was wearing this died. So he's going to take the necklace and put it away in his pocket and let the body fall to the ground. And he's kind of shooken up. Torka's a little sad now. And I think Torka's a little stressed. So we're going to give Torka a point of stress for finding this body here. Oh, and also Jay gets a point of stress for failing his roll and being attacked by a walker and losing his axe. So we've got the freezer now. Is there anything else in this freezer? No. Okay, so it's just a walker in there. A gothic teenager. Super sad. So we've got the freezer. We can see in our map there's like a window. So we might be able to do something with that window. But now that we've finished that, all these walkers are going to move 10 feet forward. Because they're coming towards the sound, right? Although the guys on the inside, they don't know that. They have no idea that's happening. So we're going to leave out of this room. It's a cool little hex crawl thing we're doing. If you're, by the way, if you like this little hex crawl thing that we're doing, let me know. If you don't and you'd rather me do it Theater of the Mind, also let me know. Because I'm down to do both. And let me know what you think. So I think we're just going to quickly check the rest of these rooms. But our main goal is to get that fridge packed up and moved out. But I want to go into this main room because Jay needs a new weapon. So, yeah. The other door was unlocked. Pretty sure this one's going to be unlocked. Is it unlocked? Yes, cool. So we step inside. We're going to roll for threat level again in here. 0. So it's completely clear in here. And we're going to roll on the luck table. Do we find anything in here? Any kind of weapons? Extreme no. Gall darn. So it's been cleaned out, is what you're telling me. Maybe something to do with that goth teenager. Dang, ambiguous events. So we're going to step into this next room. This is like the front area, right? Oh, and we're moving. These guys are moving as well. Moving, moving, moving. I can actually do it all at once. I don't know why I'm doing it that way. Okay. This is kind of like, I mean, there's two doors. This is kind of like the same area. So I'm going to say that there's no threats in here, but we are going to search it again. While we search around, is there anything else we find in here? Another extreme no. So this place all cleared out. So we head into the back. It looks like almost some kind of a bathroom. Is this door open? I'm doing this quickly. this door is open. So we step inside. What is our threat level? 1. Which means there is a walker in here, right? What does that mean? 1 is there are walkers around, but they haven't noticed us. If we fail a skill test, we might find one. Okay. Well, we're going to try to scavenge around it. Here, maybe there's just one more of those, like, pink-dressed workers, and they're, like, up against the wall. Maybe they've got, like, the walker in here. Is it pinned against the wall with a weapon? No. Fuck. So it's not pinned against the wall and there is no weapon. Fine. That's fine. Which also means it's walking around in here. So we're going to step inside and then both of us together, just to make it easier on ourselves, are going to try to hit this thing just to take it out. Close combat. We got 1 success from Torka. That's right. He gets it in the head, takes it out. And when that thing falls to the ground, I'm doing this quickly. We're going to roll to see on our luck oracle. Do we find anything? We got an extreme yes. Okay, that's good news. Finally. We're looking for weapons in here. And the way that this works, solo procedures, exploring areas, roll for a random threat level. Each time you enter a new section, if you are scavenging in the building, use a luck oracle. An extreme yes result means you can roll twice on the scavenging table. All right, so scavenging table. 1, 2. What do we find? Protein bars and a bottle of wine. Gee, oh, she's sick. And some cooked beans. I don't know why they were cooked. But I'm out of weapon, which sucks real bad. Okay, and this is the bathroom. Anything going on here? We shouldn't roll luck again, I guess. So there's nothing going on in there. We need to get this freezer out of here. And I'm sure while they're in there, I want to roll a scout check now to see while they were in here if they heard the walkers going past the window. And put them like that. They're all kind of bunched up now. Scout checks. Do we see them going past the window? He doesn't. And he does. But we did mess up. Since we have stress, that means that we have messed up. Skill test success is 1. Stress dice success is 0. Here's messing up. Let's go. I'll show you that real quick. Messing up. If you roll one or more ones on your stress die in a skill roll, the stress of the situation has caused you to make a mistake. You've messed up. The custom stress dice have a special walker symbol. Got it. Messing up generally means that you raise the threat level one step. You have, for example, been loud enough to alarm a walker swarm or failed to notice a walker until it attacks you. But messing up could also mean other things. The GM decides on what happens. Okay. So I just get to straight up describe what happens. So we see the walkers coming by the window. And I think it's going to scare Torka. He sees all of them coming this way. He messes up because he's stressed and he gets scared. And he goes, "Oh no, Jay, they're coming!" Which is going to have all of them move even faster. Which is just going to increase this threat level. And possibly, if we didn't kill those other walkers, it would have got them moving as well. So the guys see this. They're going to run into the fridge area. They got to carry this fridge out. I don't even know if our church has like electricity. I don't know if that's been discussed yet. But either way, we're trying to get something to keep food cold. And that's important, I guess, huh? So they're going to try to carry this thing out as fast as they can. Both these guys, is force like? I think force is what we're looking for. We're trying to force this thing open. Oh, and also the small axe is broken. So we're removing it from our sheet. Can I just drag it off? Oh, we do have a hammer still. Well, that's good. That helps us out a lot. So we'll equip our hammer, even though our axe is broken. We have a hammer now, so that's all right. Okay, so both the guys are going to roll force. One success from Torka. Thank goodness. And one success from Jesse. And so these guys are going to hustle up this hallway. And all these walkers are going to move. They have to go all the way around the fence. So we're going to line them up like this. I mean, we're going to make it out for sure before they make it to us. But just for sake of visuals. So it was actually good that Torka did this. Oh, wait, Lord. Here's what's going to determine this. We make it to the front door with the freezer. Is the front door unlocked? Yes. Okay, thank goodness. And they jump out like this. And I think Jay's going to be a little greedy. And he's going to search this car that's out front. Anything in there? No. Dang. There's nothing in the car. Sad. Okay, and they're going to run it out and load it into the van. Good Lord. That was eventful. So we got 2 rations, which is nice. Yeah, we got 2 rations. That's great. Protein bars and a bottle of wine and some cooked beans. So we've got enough food for one more day. And we got a fridge. So they load this thing up. They hop into the van and they start driving back. And I think they're going to unload it together at the spot. We just boarded up the front door. And so they're going to have to unboard the front door, load in this freezer, and then board the front door back up. Because we're climbing in and out of like the second story window to get in and out of the church, which we talked a little bit about before. But there's no way they're going to load a freezer through a window. So they're going to have to unboard it, board it back up. That's a pain in the butt. Just canon theater of the mind. Just remember that that happens. They're going to talk a little bit. I think Jay's, they're driving back. He's going to be like, "So what, your tribe? You really haven't spoke about it much. You found a necklace?" "Yeah, man. I remember this symbol from when I was a kid, man, before, you know, my dad got shot." And I think he takes it out and hangs it over his mirror with the bullet. And he's like, "I don't know. Any sign of them being around is doesn't really happen that much, man. And last I heard, the Yaw faction did something with my old family, you know, and my old tribe. And I think that's why I have such a vendetta against them, because I want to get in there and figure out what happened. I want to interrogate their leader and see if I can learn more about my tribe and, you know." And Jesse's like, "Okay, well, just tell me a couple things about them, man. About your tribe. What did they stand for?" Partially quaint. He's like, "Well, I don't know much, man, but we were a quaint tribe, you know, we weren't very big. And we had people everywhere, but our section of the tribe was pretty small, our partial side of it." And he's like, "Oh, cool, man, well, good to know you a little bit more." So, yeah. "Well, let's get home." And they're going to ride off into the sunset, back to the church to load this thing up. And that's going to end our episode today, I think. We did a little bit. learn a little bit with the radio station. I'm excited to learn more about those other NPCs. I'm gonna have to add in the hardware store and other kinds of stuff like that for the details into our notes and update our threads and everything, so we can see where we want to go next, what we should do next. We've got a fridge, we've got a little bit more food to get us through, but we really need to get sustainable food so we quit having to search and scavenge and everything else like that. Also, we need to recruit more people so we can have other people do NPC runs, and we can bring more people with us on runs. There's only four of us, so like, gosh, that's tough. And once we get food going, we're going to have to make sure that the church has power. Right now, we know it doesn't have running water. And I don't really think we have anything to plug in at the church. So that's something we're going to figure out next time. Goodness. Hey, again, I have no idea how long this episode's going to be. If it is any thought to you, I've been recording for 2 hours. I usually clip down a lot. So, yeah, leave a like on this episode if you want to see more. And let me know what you think. And remember to do leave more thoughts and ideas and stuff down in the comments section, because I will take as much of it as I want to. I love the idea of this being kind of like a collaborative story thing where you guys can add in ideas to the story and we can do it together. Thanks so much for watching, y'all. I have been Turk, and I'll see you next time right here on the couch.